Hello, fellow fiends. Welcome to another episode of Creepy Cases and Spooky Spaces. I am your host, Cassie Opea. Don't forget, you can find me every Friday with brand new episodes, creepy content, spooky content, all for you on your favorite podcast listening platform and or YouTube. Don't forget, you can also subscribe to the Patreon and Anchor or Anchor webpage and get bonus episodes, bonus content on the Patreon that you're not going to find anywhere else. You will get a 10% merchandise discount. And let me be clear, that is good on every purchase in the Creepy Cases merchandise store. And that's also good on the Wiccan Fae candles. You can also support without subscribing. I have a Cash App and a Venmo, but also just following on social media, subscribing to the YouTube channel, liking, commenting, sharing, all that stuff that you do on an everyday basis that actually helps as well. You can support by purchasing merchandise and candles in the Wiccan Fae shop on the Pizza and Pigtails website. And also, if you are a content creator or a small business owner and you're looking to spread the word about your lovely items, definitely get with me, creepycases.spookyspaces@gmail.com. I have some budget-friendly ad space packages, so we can actually partner up and get you some ad space on the podcast. So without further ado, let's get started on this week's episode. Now, due to the nature of this episode, I am going to throw the disclaimer up there that there is talk of child abuse. I'm not going to get graphic. I'm not going to get too detailed, but just know that the ideology is still there. So on July 27th, 1988, at 8:30 a.m., Los Angeles resident Eunice Daly dials 911 reporting hearing a gunshot come from her neighbor's home. Now, when police arrived, they found 56-year-old Joseph Barcy in the garage, dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Prior to taking his own life, he murdered his wife and young daughter, both who were found shot once in the head, and that morning he doused them in gasoline and lit them on fire to burn the house down. Now, what would cause him to kill his family and himself? Well, join me now as I tell you about the creepy case of Judith Barcy. Some of you, especially my fellow 90s kids out there, may recognize the name Judith Barcy, and some of you may not. But I know all of you would recognize her voice and her famous line of yep, 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 as she brought the adorable dinosaur Ducky to life in The Land Before Time. Now, she was a rising childhood star with tremendous talent. Judith Ava Barcy was born in Los Angeles on June 6, 1978. She was the only child of Joseph and Maria Barcy, who were both immigrants who fled Hungary at different times during the 1956 uprising. Now, Joseph met Maria at a restaurant where she worked as a server in California. Even though she was told that her chances were slim, Maria noticed Judith's talents at a young age and began preparing her for life in front of the camera, teaching her posture and poise and voice. Now, Judith was actually discovered by chance in a San Fernando Valley ice rink at just 5 years old. Now, mistaken for being much younger due to her petite size, she was cast in a Donald Duck orange juice commercial and her career began. Now, during the next 5 years, she appeared in over 70 commercials, including Campbell's Soup, Toys R Us, and Jif Peanut Butter. She was in multiple films like Jaws the Revenge, and her most famous roles is Ducky in Land Before Time and Anne Marie in All Dogs Go to Heaven, and numerous TV shows such as Punky Brewster, Cheers, and Growing Pains. Her first major role was in the film of the 1984 miniseries Fatal Vision, which actually kind of mirrored her own life. It was about a little girl who was abused and actually had her life taken at the hands of her father. So it's a little creepy. Now, although she was making about $100,000 a year by fourth grade, Maria tried to keep Judith's life as normal as possible. She kept her in school unless she had filming. She brought her lunch every day, and she actually encouraged her to be just a normal child, ride her bike, learning to knit, playing board games. But when one of her commercials or shows was set to air, Maria would pop some popcorn and the two would sit in front of the television to watch. Unless Joseph was going to be home, then the two would huddle in Judith's room to watch. Now, her income helped her family tremendously, and she was actually able to help purchase a 3-bedroom house at 22100 Michelle Street in Canoga Park, San Fernando Valley. And she was quite short for her age, which helped with her younger casting roles, but she actually had to undergo hormone injections to kind of encourage her growth. And her agent, Ruth Hansen, actually told Los Angeles Times that even at 10 years old, she was still playing roles as young as like 6 and 7. So, but Judith seemed to live the life that many children can only dream about. But as her professional career began to grow and strengthen, her home life deteriorated just as rapidly. Behind the scenes, Judith and Maria lived in fear of Joseph. He was resentful that his only child took over his place as sole breadwinner for the family. So he began to drink heavily and was very short-tempered, and he focused like all of his rage on Maria and Judith. Now, family friend Peter Kivlin recalled Joseph told him hundreds of times that he wanted to kill his wife. And when Peter would kind of calm him down and ask what would happen to Judith if that happened, he told Peter that he would just have to kill her too. And I don't understand how someone can like be so angry or so detached that you would just nonchalantly tell multiple people that you wanted to kill your family. So among bar fights and other altercations, Joseph was arrested for drunk driving, and this happened about, I think, 3 or 4 times when I was looking through my research, but no charges were ever actually like made towards him. I'm not sure why. Maybe he bought his way out of it, or used, you know, Judith's name to get out of it. I'm not sure how much clout that would really hold, though. Now, much of the abuse that Joseph imposed on the family remained kind of unspecified, but friends claimed that Maria regularly spoke of Joseph's violent tendencies. She even rented an apartment in Panorama City, where she and Judith could go to escape Joseph during the day. And she never officially left him, but he held a forceful grip on the two of them. Now, as the years went on, Joseph's resentment only grew. According to a neighbor, Judith was playing with a kite in the front yard one day, and when Joseph snatched it from her, it caused her to cry. Now, instead of apologizing or comforting her, he turned to Maria and said that their daughter was a spoiled brat who didn't know how to share her things, and then smashed the kite into pieces. Sadly, this was the least of the abuse that Judith experienced at the hands of her father. Now, knowing Maria wanted to leave him, Joseph's behavior only got worse. Now, he became physically violent, and Judith would tell her friends often, that she was afraid to go home because her father was drunk all the time, and she knew that he wanted to kill her mother, which that's terrifying. Liz, like, as a young child, like you're telling your young child and making it clear that you want to kill her mother, like, that's just, it's just horrible. Judith would say that he would throw things at her, and she actually had like scratches and bruises. And in 1986, Judith was preparing to leave for the Bahamas to film Jaws: The Revenge, and he actually held a knife to her neck, threatening, "If you decide not to come back, I will cut your throat." Now, Joseph Weldon, Maria's brother, recalled hearing the conversation between the two when Judith and Maria visited him in New York. And he said that Joseph basically told her, "Remember what I told you before you left." And this actually caused Judith to burst into tears, which I don't blame her, because that, I mean, could you imagine, like, then even going back home to that, like, it's just, it's so sad. Now, Judith actually began to gain weight and pluck her eyelashes out, along with her cat's whiskers. It became apparent to her agent, Ruth Hansen, that she was under intense distress and deteriorating mental health. And now, keep in mind, this is just 10 years old. Like, this is a 10-year-old. Actually, she's not even 10 at this point. She's 8. So, in December of 1986, after Joseph hit Maria in the face, choked her, and threatened to kill her, she filed a police report. But no charges were pressed, as police found no physical signs of abuse. I'm sure my face says it all. Now, after this, Joseph did stop drinking, but his threats of violence only increased, and claims of burning down the house began. Now, Eunice Daly, the neighbor, reportedly encouraged Maria to move out, but Maria told her that she can't because Joseph would come after her and Judith, and she would kill them. And she knew that he really would do this, and he really would burn the house down. In May of 1988, Judith burst into tears before an audition, and the young girl was just hysterical and completely inconsolable, to the point where she couldn't even speak. And this was when Ruth realized just how bad things were, and she urged Maria to take Judith to see a child psychiatrist. Now, the case was reported to the Los Angeles County Department of Children and Family Services, but nothing changed, and Maria assured the caseworker that she intended to begin divorce proceedings against Joseph, and that she would be permanently moving Judith and herself into the apartment that she had been renting. Now, I feel like they should have been doing, like, follow-ups, like, making sure this was happening, making sure that the girls were safe, and making sure that this was being done and followed through on, because her hesitation in leaving Joseph proved fatal. Now, investigators believe that sometime likely on July 25th, 1988, Joseph actually crept into his daughter's room and shot her while she slept. Now, upon hearing the gunshot, Maria ran into the hallway, where she ran into her husband, and this is when he shot her. Now, Joseph remained in the house with the deceased bodies of Maria and Judith for 2 more days. And on July 27th, Eunice Daly heard a gunshot coming from the Barcy home. And she told the Los Angeles Times, "My first thought as I ran in to call 911 was, he's done it. He's killed them, and he set fire in the house just like he said he would." And that's exactly what he did. Shortly before taking his own life that morning, he doused the bodies of Maria and Judith in gasoline, lighting them on fire. Maria was 48 years old and Judith just 10. Now, during her short life, Judith appeared in many commercials, many TV shows, many movies, and two which were actually released after her death, The Land Before Time and All Dogs Go to Heaven. And in the credits, there's actually, there's a dedication to her. The Barcy home actually appeared on Murder House Flip. I've actually never heard of this show, but I'm going to look into it because I just want to see like what exactly. I almost feel like it's like a cleansing or like a, I don't want to say an exorcism of homes, but I'll let you know in a future episode once I check it out. Apparently, the family who had purchased the home 19 years prior wanted to get rid of the cold spots and the dark presence they felt throughout the home. So I'm definitely going to have to look into that. And then Maria and Judith were laid to rest in the Forest Lawn Hollywood Hills Cemetery. With no family to make arrangements, they were buried without headstones until 2004, when an online fund was established to purchase headstones for their plots. And Judith's actually reads, "Our Concrete Angel." Yep, yep, yep. And it's a nod to her favorite role as Ducky. Now, although the dark cloud he cast on Judith's life and legacy remains, Joseph will never overshadow the memory of the talented little girl who brought joy to the people who were lucky enough to know her. Also, if you or someone you know is experiencing abuse, please reach out to your local authorities, your help centers, anonymous shelters, or the National Sexual Assault, Domestic, and Family Violence Service at 1-800-737-7328. And on that note, until next crime. Creepy Cases and Spooky Spaces with Cassiopeia is a Pizza and Pigtails production. All episodes are researched, written, and edited by yours truly. You can find new episodes every Friday, with bonus episodes coming out every other Tuesday. You can find the podcast on your favorite listening platform, or now you can find it on YouTube as well. Don't forget to follow along on social media, creepycases.spookyspaces, for all future news, updates, and maybe some content that you won't find on the podcast. Also, be sure to subscribe so you can get access to bonus content, early access to content, and a couple of little thank you swag. If you'd like to contact me about appearing on a future episode, maybe you would like to suggest your own creepy case or spooky space, or maybe you'd also like to reach out about ad space, you can reach me directly at creepycases.spookyspaces@gmail.com, or feel free to reach out through those social media platforms as well. And, as always, see you next crime.